Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show. It is Wednesday, January 4th. It is a new year. I am doing the show this afternoon from Medellin. I love doing the show here from Medellin. And according to everything I hear from all of you, when I see you in person or you send me DMs on Instagram, you love when I'm doing the show here too. Not because you want me farther away or something. You're just, you know, maybe like seeing pictures I post or videos or hearing about my experiences from here. Talking sometimes about the gorgeous views. Girls, 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 girls. Hey, if you didn't travel in 2022 or barely traveled, I hope that's one of your goals here in 2023. Get on out. Get on a plane. Go to Miami International Airport. Go to Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. Go to Palm Beach International Airport. PBI, FLL, MIA. Get to an airport near you. Get on a plane. And get somewhere. Do it here in 2023. And if you got a passport, go somewhere you haven't been before. Unless you've been here to Medellin, then just keep coming back. Somebody sent me a message earlier today. It was actually a message with an article in it. The article was about the four or five White House nominations for ambassadors to Colombia. And they said, Slater, you got robbed. How I should have been a U.S. ambassador for Colombia. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want any of that. Because then you got to be super professional all of the time. If I was an ambassador for Colombia, you think I'd be able to talk about the views here? Girls, 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 girls. The mountains and all that, of course. But the other views, I wouldn't be able to do that. That wouldn't be fun at all. You guys would hate that too. Anyhow, if you tuned into the show yesterday, it was a little heavy. And that was the only tone for yesterday because I think collectively we were all in shock. You know, how do you discuss anything that you normally would just a day or so after what we saw happen on the field or what we heard about happen in Cincinnati with DeMar Hamlin? Couldn't come on here and say, hey, how about them Dolphins? So it was very weird, but we did a show yesterday, or I should say I did a show yesterday because it's not we. Some people say that, like, hey, we're going here. Like, it's just one person that, you know, I'm the host here. There's no co-host. There used to be a co-host, but he was too much of a homer. I should have known that when his nickname was the Homer. So anyhow, there was no way that I could do this show yesterday as I regularly would. So I sort of postponed, rightfully so, the normal schedule. And it was very heavy on what happened Monday night in Cincinnati. Today, though, is a new day. And the progress that we have heard so far about DeMar Hamlin has been in a positive direction. Thank gosh. And you guys know, you come here because this is an entertaining show. This is about fun. It always has been. I like tackling breaking news, of course. I own breaking news, especially in South Florida. I love bringing you the
Slater's Scoop.
So if anything does happen, South Florida related, anything that I get information-wise, if it's not here on the airwaves, it'll be on my Twitter feed. So if you're not following me on Twitter, I don't know why, but you can follow whoever you want to follow. It's at Andy Slater on Twitter. And if something newsworthy happens that I'm aware of before anybody else, I will put it out there via Twitter. You get to hear my voice in the afternoons here. There's the whole morning. There's the early afternoon. there's the evening, there's the overnight hours. There's a lot of time where you do not get to hear my voice, but you can see what I do write on Twitter, and of course what I post media-wise, pictures and videos on my Instagram feed and story. Just search Andy Slater there. This morning I was downstairs eating breakfast. Some scrambled eggs, some sourdough toast, a couple of cappuccinos. I've got my laptop in front of me. I got my phone in front of me. I got my AirPods. I've got it all, and I'm always waiting for information. I'm waiting for the information, and then I could send it along to all of you. And then a few hours ago, I was listening to Mike McDaniel talk as well. I'll get into what Mike McDaniel had to say, what's going to be happening with the Miami Dolphins in their final game of the regular season. As we know, their final game of the regular season will be at Hard Rock Stadium against those Jets. J-E-T-S! Suck, suck, suck! Remember, there was a point this year, or last year, this season, though, where the Jets were actually really good? Now the Jets not so good, but neither are the Miami Dolphins. So we're all going to continue to follow along what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks with the NFL schedule. We send positive thoughts the way of Damar Hamlin. The show, we push forward. There was a Dolphins game this past Sunday that I still have not addressed because Monday was an off day with the observed holiday of New Year's Day. Yesterday, definitely not a normal show. There was no Dolphins talk. So I will discuss what I saw Sunday in New England. I will do that this afternoon. And as we know, we have one more Dolphins game this season. And you may also know, if you saw my tweet earlier today, that my next poker tournament is coming up next Tuesday. So less than a week away, Tuesday, January 10th, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. It happens now at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Last month was the first month that it started being held at the Hard Rock. So it was the inaugural version of the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. Had over 100 players, and guess who won? That's right, I won. So this morning, the Hard Rock sent out a tweet advertising that my poker tournament is coming up, and they asked the question, will Andy Slater defend his title? And the answer, yes, I will. But, hey, second place, it pays a lot of money. So I hope to see a lot of you out there. I hope to meet some more of you. I met a lot of you last month. I hope to meet more of you this month. Tuesday night, January 10th. That's next Tuesday. Cards are in the air until 6 p.m. and you could register until 8:30 if you get out of work a little late. $10,000 guaranteed in the prize pool, and it's $150 to buy in. I'll be doing the show from the Hard Rock Poker Room next Tuesday. So again, I hope to see you guys there. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. Tuesday night, less than a week away, now it's held at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. All right, so I do have a lot to get to this hour, but as you guys know, I can't get to anything until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
The news about Damar Hamlin seems to be going in the right direction, and that's fantastic. And I think because of that, because there has been good news coming out over the past 18 to 24 hours, a lot of people, a lot of media members, a lot of fans, a lot of shows on television, shows on the radio, shows on the internet, everybody's wondering what's going to happen with the schedule. Now, we heard yesterday the National Football League said that the Bills and Bengals will not be played this week. We know that. But let's focus here on the big picture of the league. We know to the NFL, competitive fairness is everything. Think about some of the big businesses built around the National Football League, such as gambling. Now, I want to be clear. I want to be very clear. The most important thing, and we have said this since we found out what happened, if you weren't watching it live on Monday night, DeMar Hamlin's health. Now that news has come out that things are trending in a positive way, doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfectly fine, but things seem to be trending in the right direction for DeMar. I do not feel, and I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way that I do, where we do not feel that it is insensitive to begin to talk about previous games, upcoming games, the NFL schedule, what the NFL has built around it. I don't believe that's insensitive. The number one thing, DeMar Hamlin's health. But we do know there's a lot of money involved in the National Football League. I mean, come on. We know that. Whether you want to say it or not, or talk about it, or think about it, we know that. Sports gambling, it's picked up in every single state. It even picked up in Florida for about 3 weeks. Remember that? Then you've got fantasy football. Immediately after Monday night, you got people tweeting, oh, what's going to happen with my fantasy team? It's like, give it a rest for a couple of minutes, okay? Hold on. Let's get DeMar Hamlin's health figured out first. But now the conversation has begun here on Wednesday. And it even started late yesterday. Billions and billions of dollars we are talking about. A lot of fans. Some of this stuff may seem silly to some of you, but we are talking about customers for the National Football League. So when you build this empire and you have other empires built because of the NFL, you need legitimate results. You need the results to be legit, period. So let's suppose you want to run through scenarios, and some things are being figured out, as we've heard, but not everything yet. So let's suppose that Buffalo and Cincinnati, that game, let's just suppose that it was never to be made up. And the Chiefs get the number one seed. Well, what that does, what it would do, is give Kansas City a bye week. And it likely puts them in the championship game in Kansas City. Would you say that was earned? Like, what if you had, and again, I keep prefacing this because some people tune in, you know, like right now. Not everybody tunes in at the same time. We're talking about a lot of money at stake. What if you had a futures bet on the Buffalo Bills? Like a big futures bet on them. Would that be fair to those people? Hey, life's not fair, Slater. I know. I'm glad that we are seeing and hearing positive things about DeMar Hamlin's health. Again, that is number one. But you have so many people in the United States of America and around the world. You have so many dollars and other currencies invested into an NFL season. And I know you could say, you know what? Things happen. Bad luck, tough luck, oh well. But I don't think people with tons and tons and tons of dollars, whether they're individuals or companies, I don't think they're like, oh yeah, well, you know what? We just can't think about it. I mean, it is what it is. You know, to the NFL, fair matters. The NFL has worked hard to get teams to try the entire season. That's why they are offered a heavier reward for earning the top seed in the conference. It's like, okay, you're going to get home field and a bye. And now there's only going to be one bye. The NFL wants the best team in their most important game. And if they were, just as a scenario, a supposed scenario, if they were to neglect to crown a legit number one seed, then I know it's unusual circumstances, but they've undermined their own goal. It wasn't my goal for the NFL to make the number one seed matter so much. It was the NFL's. They created this. And I wouldn't imagine that the NFL would just say, you know, we're going to blow that off. There's solutions out there. And again, we've heard some of them. We've heard the NFL say things as well. There's solutions. In the end, the NFL is going to do what is right for the integrity of the competition. That's what they're going to do. They're going to look at the integrity. They're going to look at all the dollars. I know this is an unprecedented circumstance. It's not like this happens every year or every other year. This is extraordinary. But that doesn't stop the league from making good decisions. They know that every fan matters. They know that every game matters. And above all else, they know that the integrity of what we are all watching, that matters. If the Chiefs were given an easier road because of this very extraordinary circumstance, and they went on to win the Super Bowl, how would everyone feel about it? And again, I know the number one thing is DeMar Hamlin's health. I'm just asking another question about making up the game, about what to do with the schedule. Look, if this unfortunate event happened in week three, the league would get creative. They would look at the bye weeks and they would figure it all out. And we know that there's a week between the championship games in the conferences and the Super Bowl. So my assumption is that will be used. Look, yesterday, everyone took time. We were somber and serious. And nobody wanted to speak publicly about any of this, and it shouldn't have really been talked about. It would have been in poor taste. But I guarantee you, behind closed doors at the league office, you don't think they were already coming up with ways how to make things happen? A plan? You know they were. Sure, DeMar Hamlin's health is number one, but there's more than one or two people working at the league office. There's hundreds. There are people that work on logistics. There are people that work on the scheduling. There are tons of people. And that's what the NFL behind closed doors almost certainly has been working on at the same time as they're wishing well to DeMar's health. And thankfully, from everything that we have heard and read, DeMar Hamlin's health is looking better than it was on Monday night. At least at this moment. We know things can change. And hopefully in this case, the only change will be better and better and better news by the day. That's what we can hope for and wish for and pray for. Now, since Monday, I was off. A lot of you guys were off because New Year's Day fell on a Sunday, so we all got Monday off. Yesterday, it was a very heavy show about what happened on Monday night. So right now, what I want to do is I want to get in and tell you about what I saw on Sunday afternoon when the Miami Dolphins were in New England. And I'll do that in just a moment. What you guys can do, I was just talking about gambling. You can head on over to Gulfstream Park. The championship meet is going on right now at Gulfstream Park. They got live racing going on right now. Wednesday through Sunday, during the entire championship meet, you can get on out to Gulfstream Park. I was there twice in like the past 10 days. I love going to Gulfstream. When I go there, I go to Ten Palms. Ten Palms, that is their trackside restaurant. So I get a table of Ten Palms. I have a fantastic meal. I had the buffet just a few days ago when I was there, and it was great. I watch the races live right in front of me, and then, of course, you know, I wager on them. And you could wager just 10 or 20 cents and make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. So get on out there, this championship meet, some great racing with the best horses, the best jockeys, the best of everything in our own backyard. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You got plenty of days to choose from to go check out live racing at Gulfstream Park. Time to get to some Miami Dolphins talk. What can I say about these Dolphins? Oh, I could say a lot, trust me. What could I say here on the airwaves, though? I guess I could say different things putting this show up on the internet. I mean, you can always find a replay of this show on iTunes, Amazon. There's plenty of places to find it. And when I say Amazon, that doesn't mean you order it to your house and like an audio recording shows up the next day. Amazon has a music site, and the show is always posted there. But here on the airwaves, for those of you in your vehicle right now, what can I say? The Miami Dolphins are a mess. I'll just, I guess, say that because that keeps it clean. They're a mess. They're a disaster. The Dolphins have lost five straight football games. They lost every game in December. That's tough to hear, isn't it? Losing every game in December? Gosh, that's bad. They just lost a meaningful game against the Patriots. They had an opportunity to write their ticket to get a wild card slot, and nope, couldn't get it done. Everything was there for them, and they lost again. I think it's been made pretty clear at this point. It's not about waiting for Tua. Mike McDaniel, he's been adamant about this. Even earlier today, I was listening to him speak. And he's like, I can't talk about anything other than right now, this moment, when it comes to Tua. Or really about anything else. He's big into this forecast thing now, not being able to forecast anything. Kind of like some meteorologists, right? Except they say they can forecast stuff, but at the end of the week, it's like, okay, your forecast was incorrect. Mike McDaniel, he's like, right now, I've been told by doctors not to say anything other than what's happening at this moment when it comes to Tua. So if you ask me if he's going to play this week, I can't look past the next 15 seconds. It's probably fair to say Tua's not playing. Will Tua play anytime soon? Again, Mike McDaniel can't forecast it. That would put pressure on him. And the only pressure, and when I say him, I'm talking about Tua. The only pressure that Tua should feel is pressure to get better, according to Mike McDaniel. That's what the doctors say to him, at least what he says. I don't know if any of that confused you, but it's kind of confusing to listen to. Do I buy everything Mike McDaniel is saying 100%? Not necessarily. I'm sure there's like a wink, wink. But reality is, until Tua clears the concussion protocol, he's not available. And then you got Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy was okay against New England. I mean, there are things that Teddy does well. He is a veteran. He checks down well. But in terms of using the Dolphins' best weapons, Teddy appears to be the only person who slowed down Tyreek and Jalen. And that sort of makes you appreciate, at least it made me appreciate how good Tua was, at least when he was cooking. Because you watch Teddy, who's a vet, been in the league for quite some time, and he's won games in the NFL. But to watch him operate Tua's offense, which is so clearly predicated on rhythm and timing, and Teddy had none of it with his receivers, it's kind of hard to watch. I think the only player who's better off with Teddy is Raheem Mostert, because Teddy loves to check down to his backs. Now, we do know that Teddy Bridgewater injured a finger. And that's bad. He couldn't return after his pick six, which was basically the ball game. Dolphins were up 14-10. Teddy throws a pick six. Pats take the lead. They never look back, and Teddy never returns. Skylar Thompson comes in the game. And that was a big ask. A rookie? I don't care. He's 25. It's a big ask. I know he's older than Tua, but reality is Skylar was a seventh-round pick. This is his first year in the league. Put him in a ball game on the road with the playoffs on the line at New England. That's a big ask. Not to say that a seventh-round pick can't get the job done when they're put into a game that they're really not thinking they're going to get put into. Brock Purdy. But it's a big ask. Look, Purdy, it was a big ask for him, and he took advantage of it. Skylar was okay. Skylar had his moments. That last touchdown drive had a few really good plays. The fourth and seven completion, that was a good ball. The touchdown was good. He also threw an interception, which was all Tyreek Hill's fault for simply not being able to hold on to the ball. But what are the Dolphins going to be able to do now? Mike McDaniel was saying a little while ago that Teddy Bridgewater can't even throw a football yet. So it seems like Skylar would get the start in the Dolphins' next game, assuming that that will be on Sunday. And then the backup quarterback? You guys might have heard the news earlier today. The Dolphins signed Mike Glennon to the practice squad. The big picture is this year, this season, I should say, because now we're in 2023. This season, it felt very different. I'm talking about earlier this season, because everybody was on the Mike McDaniel train. There were chants of MVP for two at home games. This Dolphins team was 8-3. There was serious talk about the Dolphins being there in the same category with the Chiefs and the Bills. I was talking about that. And it was serious. So we go from that, which was such a high, to where we are right now. Heading into the final game of the regular season, and the Dolphins are 8-8. 8-8 and in the hunt. They don't even control their own destiny. At this point, I understand the frustration of Dolphins fans. And I also get why so many had high hopes, because Tua is such a polarizing QB. He's been beaten down by so many people who say he stinks. Oh, he's not good enough. And to see him get his revenge, it was so sweet. To have a coach who believes in him, awesome. It was a lot of fun. Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill felt like Clayton and Duper, the Marx Brothers. It felt like the 80s. And yet, here we are again. 8-8 in the hunt. How does it always end up this way? No matter how promising a season is for Miami, and this one was really promising, no matter how much a season shows hope, we always wind up in the same spot. How much of this, how much of being 8-3 to now 8-8 has to do with Mike McDaniel? How much of it has to do with Chris Greer? These are things that I need to get to, and I will in just a moment. If you want to be cheered up, you need to get to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you will be surrounded by gorgeous. Girls. And what makes Dean's Gold the ultimate gentleman's club is that they have beautiful ladies who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold. You will have an incredible time. And you could go to Dean's Gold any day you want. They're open 7 days a week from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Surround yourself with gorgeous women who come from all over the world. There's only one place in South Florida you could do that. Only one building. It is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. Am I allowed to say that Mike McDaniel has been bad? Can I say that? People won't get angry. He's funny. He's got jokes. He's Ivy educated. His story is awesome. But the last 5 weeks, Mike McDaniel's been bad. I've seen a lot of pre-snap penalties. That's coaching. This team, they can't get lined up. Mike McDaniel's 0-4 in challenges. The defense, they can't get off the field in the fourth quarter of close games. They've lost 5 in a row. Whatever he's said or done hasn't been able to change that. Now, am I saying that Mike McDaniel will be bad long term? No, I'm not saying that because I don't know. I'm more inclined to think that he's going to be good. But to be good, he should be learning from his mistakes. Did the Miami Dolphins to you look like a well-coached team on Sunday? Does this Dolphins team look like they're learning from mistakes that they've been making? Because you always hear that, oh, we're going to learn from our mistakes. But if you keep losing and keep making mistakes, that means you're not learning from your mistakes. How many times can you say you're learning from your mistakes? I see patterns. I see the same things happening again and again and again and again. It's the same game with the same mental errors. And it just keeps repeating itself. And that is on the coach to figure it out. Since that 49ers game where McDaniel went toe-to-toe with his mentor, Kyle Shanahan, there was an adjustment to the Dolphins. The middle of the field and those receivers running wild, it all got cut off. And since that game, it's as if the 49ers put the blueprint out there for the rest of the league to follow. And how are the Miami Dolphins going to get past other teams now being able to throw that counterpunch? If you're a great coach, you got to figure that out quickly. That's how it works. You got to come up with something. If teams are adjusting to you, you've got to adjust to that adjustment. That's just how that works. And the Dolphins haven't been able to do it. And that's worrisome. Is Mike McDaniel going to be able to figure that out? Because he's running out of time to figure it out for this season. At this point, let's say the Dolphins do beat the Jets, because the Jets have nothing to play for other than, hey, we want to spoil someone's season. Let's say that Skylar Thompson starts and is glorious, and he leads the Dolphins to a W. They get the wild card. Is all forgiven for the streak, losing 5 in a row? Let's say the Dolphins get in and they're 1-done, which you would think would be the likely situation. Does that make this season a success? Look, to me, when Tua was healthy, they had chances. So I don't want to hear the excuses about, oh, you know, he's been out. When Tua was healthy, the Dolphins were facing the 49ers' third-string quarterback who had not played. Brock Purdy's been good, but at the time that he got in, that should have given the Dolphins a boost. It didn't. The Chargers game? Come on. Should have been a lot better. what's wild and probably oh so Dolphins about this season is when you look back at all the games they have played, their best performance, probably that Buffalo game, the last Buffalo game, the one that they lost on the road. I talk so much about Tua and the offense, I haven't even crushed the defense. That Patriots game, it's not like New England's offense is good. Mac Jones, very unimpressive. His receivers aren't good. I mean, what the heck were the Dolphins doing in that fourth quarter? Giving New England a touchdown drive? Pass interference near the goal line? Looking confused, lining up? I mean, Duke Riley was covering a wide receiver on that TD pass. Week after week, the Miami Dolphins have been in situations and games where all they need is that one stop. Get the ball back. Give the offense a chance. The games have been close, but what happens? The other team gets a long, sustained drive. Often it ends up in a touchdown, and that is winning time. That is when the D should be clamping down and making plays, and they don't. Josh Boyer, I know he's going to be evaluated heavily this offseason. Maybe they fire him. Maybe it takes the heat off McDaniel or anyone else, especially if they lose to the Jets and end the season 8-9 on a six-game losing streak. And how about Chris Greer? Remember, this is a team that went all in. They said, forget the picks. Let's go grab Bradley Chubb. And look, I thought the Bradley Chubb move was a good one, but they spent and spent and spent. Chris Greer traded away draft capital. He was making finishing moves that real contenders make. And the Dolphins are 8-8 with no money to spend and not enough good picks. That's Chris Greer. When is Chris Greer going to be held accountable? Not only for the Chubb move, but Byron Jones, Xavier Howard, remember Will Fuller? Go back and look at all the drafts and the draft picks and not drafting Herbert. When will Chris Greer be held accountable? It's just amazing. Here we are. The Dolphins were 8-3, and here I am. They're 8-8, and I'm talking about, oh, is Mike McDaniel the guy? What are the Dolphins going to do at quarterback? Chris Greer should be held accountable. Never did I think this would be the discussion at the beginning of January when the Miami Dolphins were sitting at 8-3. I don't think anybody could have thought this is what we'd be talking about. Some of you guys in your household are talking about getting some dental work done. That's why I tell you about the Costa Rica Dental Team, who could save you 50 to 70% when compared to U.S. dental prices. The Costa Rica Dental Team, I have been there many times, so I can tell you firsthand the work and the staff there at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch, and they will save you a fortune when compared to U.S. dental prices. So check it out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol joins us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, there was a lot going on New Year's Eve. We knew it was coming. Unfortunately, it happened. First, let me get to the news that I guess this was road rage. Tell me more, but I heard 30 shots were fired on I-95 in Miami-Dade County.
Yep, that was New Year's Eve. Well, New Year's morning, early morning, about 3:30 in the morning. We got responded to a shooting incident on I-95 in the area of 119th Street, where a female was shot at in her, she was traveling in a white Maserati. Car was riddled. I mean, bullet holes everywhere, probably over 30 rounds, all within that driver's door, front driver side door. The female driver inside of the car, who is now the victim of this incident, was struck several times on the left side of her body. She was transported. Luckily, non-life-threatening injuries. She's expected to be okay. But first thing that comes into my head, Andy, when I see the amount of bullet holes all within the same, that grouping all within the driver's door of the vehicle. I mean, I would, it's, you know, it's a speculation, but it seems like that would be something targeted. I'm not sure if that was because of a road rage type of incident.
Just because the amount you're talking about and it being in
yeah,
one
I mean,
area?
The grouping, the amount, all within that same driver's door area. And, you know, very limited information on the shooter's vehicle. We know it's a white sedan that continued traveling on the interstate. But normally these are either the shootings are either, like we've said, you know, they're either road rage incidents or they're either targeted. And you can kind of differentiate them based on, you know, road rage incidents. It's very unlikely for it to escalate to that, although we have seen it. But when you see the amount of bullet holes all within that same driver's side area, it seems like this was something targeted.
And when you say speculation, I mean, when you start an investigation, I mean, the first person that shows up there and they see exactly what you're talking about, I mean, isn't that one of the first questions? Like, because you start thinking how you're thinking right now about that being a targeted shooting?
Well, you can't always speak to the victim. This victim was rushed to the hospital, as you know, surgery, things like that. You can't always right away get that information. And sometimes, even though when you are able to talk to the victim, their memory might not be where they knew what kind of vehicle it was, or they saw, or they can give us a description. So they might not be able to confirm if it was, in fact, a target, or if they may knew who the shooter was. I mean, it's very victim cooperation is so important in these types of investigations, and it's just not always available.
Lieutenant, we don't have a lot of time today because I was going off on the Miami Dolphins. It needed to happen. But real quickly, I read something about a carjacking. Someone carjacked an Uber driver, hit the Uber driver with an umbrella. I know Uber drivers can use the app to report things. I mean, as far as calling cops, shouldn't that be the first thing to do?
Absolutely. This was a confrontation with an Uber passenger and an Uber driver that escalated to the point where the driver actually got out of his vehicle, pulled over, got out of the vehicle. The passenger was charged with carjacking, aggravated battery, grand theft. I mean, the whole nine. But the going back to what you're saying, if you're an Uber driver out there and you're listening and you have a passenger that you don't feel comfortable with, or that you see you just don't feel right about, or you see you're having an argument with, or some kind of disagreement, you know, call 911. You can stop your car. You can get that passenger out of your car, but definitely use whatever Uber protocols there are in place for that. But obviously call law enforcement. Don't ever not call law enforcement if you don't feel comfortable.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, thanks again for the time on this Wednesday afternoon, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Andy. See you.
All right, take care. All right, that is all the time I have for this Wednesday afternoon. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.